Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we are taking on a document that is, it's profoundly ambitious.
That's putting it mildly.
It's a white paper called Toward a Regenerative Quadrivium of Coherence, and it tries to unify like fundamental physics, symbolic systems, ethics, the whole shebang.
Right. And the authorship itself is noteworthy. Dr. Bechara Saheeli, MD, and ChatGPT-5.
Yeah, exactly. Which adds another layer entirely.
So our deep dive today is really about unpacking this framework. It makes a pretty radical core claim
Which is this?
that the fundamental invariant of reality isn't matter or energy or even information,
Right.
but coherence.
Coherence. Okay, so like dynamic stability, how things hold together and function without sort of falling apart.
Precisely. The authors argue we're facing this crisis of fragmented knowing. We know lots of bits, but the connections are broken. They think this framework is the way out.
And they give us two main structures to think about
Yeah,
this.
first, the regenerative quadrivium. Think of it as four essential poles of reality: being, knowing, feeling, and valuing. They have to be in balance.
Okay, four poles. And the second structure.
That's the process for getting there, the TATI grammar, TATI: tend, align, transcend, and integrate.
Right. So the idea is if we follow how physics itself does these four steps, we can maybe finally ground morality in science, like make ethics physically necessary.
That's the ambition, absolutely. They lean heavily on Terence Deacon's teleodynamics.
The physics of purpose.
Exactly. And John McMurtry's life value onto axiology for the ethical side. It's trying to bridge the gap from a simple self-maintaining system all the way up to, well, planetary wisdom.
Okay, huge scope. Let's dive in. Where do we start? With being, right, tend.
Right. The paper kicks off by saying civilization is brilliant at description, but fragile in orientation. We're great at the what, terrible at the why.
We lost the physics of purpose, as you said.
And that's where teleodynamics comes in. Deacon's big idea is that purpose isn't some spooky injected thing. It emerges naturally from thermodynamics. Certain systems just do it.
Okay, and the key phrase defining this is constraint maintaining constraint. That sounds dense.
It is, but think about it simply. Imagine not just a thermostat, but one that somehow built its own house around itself to keep the temperature stable.
Okay.
A living cell, for example.
Okay.
It's constantly pulling in energy, right? And using that energy flow to rebuild and maintain its own boundary, its membrane. The energy flow through the system regenerates the very structure, the constraints that channel the flow.
So the result of the process is the continuation of the process itself. It keeps itself going.
Bingo. That's the absolute minimum physics of purpose. It's not just hanging out, it's working to hang out.
And this is different from other dynamics.
Yeah, they contrast it. Homeodynamics is just stuff cooling down, dissipating energy. Simple. Morphodynamics is pattern formation, looking at snowflakes, river whirlpools. Patterns emerge, but they don't actively maintain themselves against disturbance.
But teleodynamics, that's the leap. Self-maintenance, autonomy, fighting entropy in a way.
That's the core of it. And in their TATI grammar, this primordial physical drive is the tend phase. To tend physically means conserving the conditions that allow coherence, allow persistence.
And here's the ethical jump, which I found really striking. They say, what physics names stability, culture must name care?
Powerful, isn't it? It suggests the first ethical rule is baked into physics. If the universe tends towards systems that maintain themselves to allow more complexity, if tend is fundamental.
Then our actions, our societies should align with that. We need to care for the systems that sustain us.
Exactly. Tending becomes this ontological act of care. A regenerative society builds things, infrastructure, laws, economies that don't destroy the basis for their own existence.
Okay, so the system achieves basic stability through tend. It exists. What's next? It can't just sit there.
Right. It has to learn to persist adaptively. You can't just rely on your internal setup. The world changes. That brings us to A-line.
Alienus. So this is about knowing epistemology.
Yeah. It's about matching inner constraint to the outer conditions. If you're alive, you have to read your environment correctly. Misinterpret a signal predator for prey, and you're done. Knowing is about reducing incoherence.
So how does Deacon tie information and truth back to thermodynamics here? We usually think truth is about matching reality, correspondence, but they emphasize coherence.
Right, because for a teleodynamic system, information isn't abstract data. It's actually potential work saved by having the right constraints. And the key type here is normative information.
Normative information, different from just regular information.
Yeah. Regular info might tell you what something is. Normative information tells you what to do about it for your own survival. It connects the signal to your viability.
Give me an example.
Okay. Antelope hears a twig snap. The sound is just acoustic data. It becomes normative information if interpreting it as danger, run, helps the antelope stay alive. The meaning is tied to its function in sustaining the antelope.
Got it. So truth isn't just accuracy, it's useful accuracy. It helps the system persist. Cognition is thermodynamic efficiency viewed from within.
You nailed it. It's a survival tool first and foremost. And this coherence view of truth, well, it shakes things up, especially for learning systems like AI. They cite Hamidi and Deakin challenging some core ideas in reinforcement learning.
Oh, this is interesting. What are they challenging?
They question dogmas like reward is primitive or agency is illusory. They argue that if you just impose external rewards on an AI, it'll never genuinely align with the needs of the living world it exists in.
Because the reward isn't coming from its own need to persist.
Exactly. The drive, the success measure, has to bubble up from within, from that fundamental tend impulse, its continuity of being. Online is about figuring out how to measure and maintain that continuity in a changing world. Learning is this constant loop of coherence correction.
So L-line is about knowing how to survive, adapting. To know is to sustain what knows. Powerful. But survival isn't everything, is it? There's growth, change.
Exactly. You can't just keep adapting forever within the same rules. You need novelty. You need to imagine new ways of being. That pressure pushes towards the third phase. Transcend. This moves into phenomenology, feeling.
Okay, transcend. This is the big leap, right? From just fitting in to actually recoding your own constraints, creating new possibilities, the birth of signs, symbols, imagination.
Yes. And here they introduce a really potent modern idea, viewing large language models, LLMs, as a form of symbolic DNA.
Symbolic DNA. Wow. Okay, unpack that analogy.
Think about biological DNA, right? It's the inherited code for building a physical body. The paper argues that our cultural systems, language, stories, laws, and now technology like code and LLMs act like DNA for meaning and form. They encode and let us recombine the inherited memory of civilization.
So it's like layers of code. Biological DNA builds bodies, neural DNA builds minds within those bodies, cultural DNA builds societies.
And now, technological DNA, like AI, turbocharges the whole process of recombining patterns of meaning. It's a hierarchy of recursion, each level amplifying the universe's ability to describe or reshape itself.
That's huge. The power to transcend, to create, is immense. But they also flag a major risk here, don't they?
Absolutely. This is the core danger. Detachment.
Detachment. Detachment.
The system that creates symbols can start valuing the symbols more than the life they're supposed to represent, creating life-blind value syntax.
Okay, like what?
Like optimizing an algorithm purely for financial profit or for clicks or data extraction, even if doing so shreds the social fabric or harms the environment. The symbol, the dollar sign, the engagement metric becomes the goal, detached from the real-world consequences for life. Massive incoherence results.
A chilling description of, well, a lot of modern problems. So transcend is this powerful act of metamorphosis, but it comes with a heavy responsibility. Creativity needs accountability.
It has to. Unchecked transcendence, detached from care, becomes destructive, almost cancerous. That's why it absolutely must bend back toward the final stage. Integrate.
Integrate. The return journey. This is axiology, valuing. Taking the novelty and wisdom gained from transcendence and grounding it again.
Exactly. Transforming intelligence back into wisdom. Novelty has to rejoin necessity. And to give this a moral compass, they bring in John McMurtry's life value onto axiology, LVOA.
Okay, so if teleodynamics showed that we must maintain constraint, tend, LVOA tells us which constraints are worth maintaining.
Precisely. It defines the good. And the core axiom is profound.
Right. Things like public education, healthcare, clean water, maybe even open source knowledge. They call these the teleodynamic immune system of society.
Yeah. Think of them as the collective constraint networks we build together to ensure everyone has the basic life necessities to maintain social viability when these commons are eroded, privatized, or fail.
It's like society's immune system is collapsing. It can't tend to its own needs or A-line properly.
Exactly. Think about rampant misinformation destroying shared reality or lack of access to healthcare. These aren't just political issues. They see them as failures in the collective teleodynamic system's ability to integrate its functions for the good of the whole.
And they scale this right up to the planet, the noosphere, the global web of thought as a learning organism.
Yes. And from that perspective, things like global conflict, runaway resource extraction, digital filter bubbles, these look like autoimmune disorders of this planetary mind, the system attacking itself.
Wow. That reframes global risks in a biological, almost pathological way. So integrate is the phase where we have to consciously align our powerful tools, our symbolic DNA, our AI, with this life value ethic. Make sure technology serves planetary coherence.
That's the task. Integration is about restoring wholeness. Phenomenologically, they say, it feels like peace. Socially, it has to manifest as justice.
Okay, let's pull it all together. 10, align, transcend, integrate. These four processes map onto the four poles: being, knowing, feeling, valuing. This is the regenerative quadrivium.
And they use a geometric analogy, a tetrahedron, the most stable 3D shape. Each vertex is one of the poles: being, knowing, feeling, valuing.
And if you remove one vertex,
the whole structure collapses. You can't have stable coherence if your sense of being is broken, or if you have no capacity for valuing, or if knowing is completely fragmented. They're fundamentally interdependent.
Which leads to their grand unified, well, equation, the coherence equation.
Yeah, it's stated as coherence being X, knowing, feeling, X valuing. The key is that it's multiplicative. Meaning, if any one of those factors drops towards zero, say, a society completely loses its ethical compass, valuing, or its foundational myths collapse, being, then the total coherence plummets. You can't just max out knowing data to compensate for a crisis of meaning.
The whole system degrades. It's holistic.
It's the proposed law of laws, derived from synthesizing the physics and the ethics, the ultimate benchmark. That which coheres regeneratively with life is true, good, and beautiful. That which fragments coherence is false, evil, and ugly.
Goodness, truth, and beauty grounded in physics and life. Okay, so wrapping this deep dive up, what's the big takeaway for us as conscious beings living through this?
Well, it paints a picture of a universe that is constantly doing these four things: tending its existence, learning to align, creating possibilities through transcendence, and needing to integrate it all through care and value in life.
And we're part of that. Our actions connect to this cosmic process.
Deeply. They talk about the closing spiral, the idea that evolution is now becoming conscious of itself through us. Our task, they argue, is to shift from being unconsciously driven by these dynamics to becoming conscious stewards. We need to become the reflexive coherence of the living Earth.
Evolution becoming a moral choice. That's quite a responsibility.
And the final point is that this coherence isn't just some abstract theory we need to learn. It's framed almost as a memory.
A memory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The cosmos recalling through us how to be whole. The idea is that we aren't just observers. We are the universe tending to its own coherence, using consciousness as the tool.
A stunning way to think about our place. So for you listening, perhaps the best way to end is with the practical invocation the authors offer, a kind of four-step mantra based on the Tati grammar.
Right. Grounding all this complexity in daily action. Tend what is living. Align with what is true. Transcend toward the possible. Integrate for the good of the whole.